I'll be reading from John's Gospel, chapter number 4, from verse 20, and it's a discussion between Jesus and a woman who comes from Samaria. Just for context, the Jews and the Samaritans didn't see eye to eye at that point in time, so it's interesting that Jesus had this discussion with the woman. Reading from verse number 20, our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews, yet a time is coming and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. We've been doing a series on It's All About Jesus. And today we want to look at worshiping Christ. It's all about Jesus, worshiping him. So come with us on a journey. I think in the last 2 weeks, we've talked about Jesus got his hands dirty. Jesus moved around. And today we want to take a clue from what Jesus taught us about worship. Now, I'm going to be very brief, 10 minutes or so, so that we can have more time to sing. So just pay close attention to the few things I want to share. Number one, I want to say that worship is universal. Man is made for worship. Listen to the discussion Jesus had with this woman. The woman said, our ancestors worshipped. So years before this woman came on the scene, she came from a group of people who were worshippers. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11 would say that God has put eternity, God has put worship in the hearts of men. So worship is universal. God has put eternity in the hearts of men. The second point I want you to notice is that everyone worships something. Everyone worships something, including the atheist, including the agnostic, including the humanist. They all worship something. But you said that looks contradictory. Yes, the atheist believes that there is no God. They reject the idea that God exists. The agnostic would say, I don't believe in the metaphysical reality. And the humanist would say, I am not religious. I depend on scientific evidence. But the fact is that their beliefs have become their God. So they are now worshiping what they believe. The idea that God doesn't exist, or that the metaphysical reality can be proven, or that science has become their God. That belief has become their God. So everyone worships something. Jesus said to this woman, you worship what you do not know. So some people actually worship, but they don't know they do. Some people worship their cars, their garden, their dogs, their possessions, their football club. I support a football club. I'm not saying you shouldn't. Their poor, their circle of friends, their bank accounts. Some people worship what they do not know. And how do I come to that realization? Anything that takes the place of God has become what you worship. Anything you value more than God becomes a God, small g, to you. So everyone worships something, whether they know it or they don't. The third point I want you to see from that discussion is that the place and the pattern of worship is not as important as we think. That looks a little bit strange. Am I saying you should stop coming to church? No, not at all. We need you to come and bring someone along. But the place of worship is not as important as we think. The pattern of worship is not as important as we think. Whether you stand or kneel or roll on the floor or jump around, or whether you sit quietly in penance and in meditation, that is not what Jesus was talking about. He says, a time is coming whether you will not worship, when you will not worship the Father, not in Jerusalem, nor in this Mount Gerizim. He had a clear understanding of what worship is. So what was Jesus trying to say? He's trying to move worship from the outward manifestation to an inner experience. The focus is not the outward expression. It is the inner experience. That's why he says, do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the living God, and the Holy Spirit dwells in you? So if you want to say worship should only happen in the temple or in the church, where is the temple? Where is it? In me. Say, the temple of God is my body. So your body becomes where worship should emerge, should arise, should evolve. You are the temple of God. So the place and the patterns of worship are not as important as we think, because true worship focuses on the Father through Jesus as inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, the next 3 minutes, I want to run through physical expressions of worship. You may be new to this and you said, how did they get to know all of this? I will read a few scriptures for you. Psalms 47 verse 1, it says, clap your hands, all people. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. Psalms 134 verse 1 and 2 says, bless the Lord, ye his servants of the Lord, who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Look at verse 2. It says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Psalm 63 verse 4 says, I will praise the Lord as long as I live. In your name, what will I do? I will lift up my hands. I like Psalms 95, 1 to 6. It says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Look at verse 2. It says, let us come before him with what? Thanksgiving. Let us come before him with thanksgiving. Let's extol him with music and song. Look at verse 6 and 7. It says, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Psalms 145 verse 10. A particular version would say, all creation will stand in awe of you. Standing in awe of you, O Eternal One. Thanks will pour from the mouth of every one of your creatures. Your holy people will bless you. Look at verse 11. They will not be silent. They will talk of the grandeur of your kingdom and celebrate the wonders of your power. Matthew 2:11, it says, when the Magi, when those wise men from the east, when they came to the house, they saw the child Jesus with his mother Mary. And what did they do? They bowed down and worshipped him. So I submit to you that worship can involve the lifting up of hands. It can involve loud singing. It can involve clapping. It can involve kneeling. It can involve singing loudly songs of joy. It can involve praying. It can involve weeping. It can even involve lying prostrate. It can involve standing in awe. It can involve the playing of musical instruments. It can involve the giving of thanks. It can involve the giving of gifts, offerings. All of these are important expressions of worship. But going back to the first point, if the place and the pattern of worship is not as important, then what is? Jesus said, the hour is coming and has now come when the true worshipers We worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Because God is spirit. And those who must worship him, his worshippers, must worship in spirit and in truth. What Jesus is saying, if I paraphrase that for us to understand, is that the heart of worship is more important than the act and the art of worship. The H-E-A-R-T is more important than the A-C-T and the A-R-T. The heart is more important than the act and the art or the finis or the techniques or the genre of music or the hymnals or the classical nature or the notes or the chords or all the things that follow music. I'm a lover of music. I don't disparage it. I play it all the time anywhere I go. That I used to play some instruments. Maybe I should go back to it. Yeah, years ago. So I don't belittle it. But Jesus is saying, whether you do it in church or you do it in Jerusalem or you do it in Latin America, what's most important is your heart. Little wonder David would say, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. So the heart is more important than the act or the art, whether you kneel or jump or lie down or sit or stand or sing or do not sing. We want you to sing. Whatever you do, how is your heart? Is your heart pouring out in effusive love to Jesus? Is your heart saying to God, God, I'm here for you? Is your heart saying to God, God, I love you. I am glad you died for me. I'm glad Jesus saved me. What's your heart saying? Amen. What's your heart saying? In conclusion, what should be my response to this call to worship? Romans 12 and verse 1 should be my response. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, young people and older people, children and adults, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as worth living sacrifices, as temples, as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This and nothing else is your true and proper worship. Live every moment of your life in worship of God in spirit and in truth. At home, when you go to bed, when you wake up in the morning, when you are dreaming, when you are with your grandchildren, when you are on the bus, when you've gone to the grocery store, it is telling us stay in the atmosphere of worship. There is no better time than now to get your heart right with God. If you are asking, how do I do that? It's as simple. Ask Jesus to cleanse you from your sin and ask him, Lord, I want to be a worshiper. I'm not saying become Ian, but that would be nice. But just say, Lord, I want to worship you in spirit and in truth. Let us pray. Lord, we want to say thank you for the declaration of your word. Thank you for what you've taught us this morning. Help us, O Lord, to understand that you have created us and that we live for you. Help us to become true worshipers. Help myself and everyone listening to me online and in this building to get our hearts right with you. Teach us to worship you the way you want, not the way we think. Let our hearts pour out praise and worship to you forever. so that on that day when Jesus returns, we will be among the saints who would forever worship you in eternity. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.